Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. My name is Buchina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I want to thank you all for tuning in. We're also on Facebook Live as well for those who are on my page and also who are tuning in from Chronicles of a Favorite Woman, Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. You know, I don't start my show off without prayer, so let's just go into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Lord, we just thank you for gracing us with another opportunity, one, to give you the praise, to give you the honor, and to make a difference in someone's life today. Lord, I thank you for the guest that's going to be on tonight. Oh, I am so grateful that you have allowed me to be in this position to meet people, to greet people, and to fellowship. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing here tonight, fellowship. You said when two or three are gathered together, you are in the midst of it. So, Lord, as I ask you to come down and rain down your Holy Spirit, I decrease Buchina, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in and increase that everything that we say and everything that we do, you are saturated by your word. And Lord, I ask you that you send your angels to make the crooked path straight. And as people are coming in on tonight, we're talking about this serious subject, this sensitive subject or subject. I thank you for the families and friends of those who are watching and those who are destined to hear the message tonight. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. So I thank you. I thank you all for who all are tuning in. I thank you so much. I'm going to try something different. So the first thing I need to know is, can you hear me? I'm trying something a little different with all of my mechanisms tonight. So I need to make sure those who are on live that you can actually hear me. So if you could just give me a thumbs up or just let me know that you can hear me, that will be great. So I'm just going to continue to move on forward as if you can. So with that being stated, we're talking about triggers. And there's a ton of them out there tonight. But we're talking about, in particular, two particular sensitive, I won't say sensitive subjects, but they're important subjects for people. And that is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, also known as ADHD, and also post-traumatic stress disorder, also known as PTSD. And for those who are not familiar with these two topics or what they mean, of course, you know I went to my Google, and so we're going to start with attention deficit hyper disorder. And according to the Mayo Clinic, we're talking about adults. Let me make sure I'm clear on that. We know that ADHD happened in kids and happened, but we're going to focus on adults tonight. So attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a mental health disorder that includes a combination of persistent problems such as a difficulty paying attention, hyperactivity, and impulsive behavior. ADHD can lead to unstable relationships. It can lead to poor work or school performance, low self-esteem, among other issues. I'm looking forward. I'm so excited about this. I don't even know what to do. And going on to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Post-traumatic stress disorder, according to American Psychiatrists Association, is a psychotic disorder that may occur in people who have experienced or witnessed a traumatic event such as natural disasters, a serious accident, terrorist acts, a war, combat, rape, and in this case, if you have ever been molested, that is another way. So tonight we're going to focus on adults. We have kids that go through it, but we have adults that go through this as well. I being one of them with the ADHD and also post-traumatic stress disorder. So having that combination, when I was talking to some of my people tonight, or the people that's going to be on tonight, I was having a general conversation with them. And one of the things I came to mind is, how do they correlate with one another? Do they correlate? And if so, what is the similarities and what is the difference between post-traumatic stress disorder and also ADHD? So we're going to go on tonight, and I don't want to keep them waiting. I have them here. My first lady that I have on tonight, my first guest, is someone who's actually no stranger to the show, but she came on the show a few months ago in regards to ADHD when she was focusing on her child and found out that she had it as well. And her name is Lillian Fairley. So I'm looking forward to having her on. So let's just welcome her. Good afternoon, Ms. Lillian, as you are coming in. Thank you so much for joining me tonight on this platform. I'm very interested and very excited about what's to come. And how are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me, Fatina.
Awesome. I just want to put a blog out there. If you all cannot hear me, or if you can hear me, just let me know. Because like I said, I'm trying something different between my Facebook Live and my blog talk tonight. So thank you so much, Lillian, for coming in. And actually, this is your second time here. And thank you for thank you for sharing the wealth of information, because a lot of people are not familiar with ADHD or familiar, you know, they're used to it being with children, but not with adults, you know. So I'm happy to have you on tonight as one of my guests. So go ahead and introduce yourself. I'm going to be quiet this time, I promise.
you pretty much said it. My name is Lillian LaShawn Fairley. I go by LaShawn since I've been here in Florida. I've always loved my middle name, so that's what I go by here. And I do have ADHD, and I didn't discover it, like you said, until I was dealing with my son's ADHD. But as an adult with ADHD is pretty much just a child that was never diagnosed, who grew up and found out much later that they have it, or some adults are still not diagnosed, but they have the symptoms. They know something is not right, something's not clicking, or something feels off.
Mm-hmm. And when you say something feels off, what do you mean by that?
Like for me, I never felt like I fit in anywhere. I would either do certain things or say certain things that either people took the wrong way, or if people were talking to me, I couldn't follow along, or didn't understand a joke or a slam on someone. Those kinds of things we don't easily pick up on or don't understand.
Okay.
I noticed my ADHD more as I got older and older. But for me, I always thought something was wrong with me because I was just grieving the death of my foster mom, who passed away, like I said before. She passed away 3 months into my senior year in high school. I always contributed to that.
It's interesting that you say that, because when I bring my other guests who will be joining the platform with us, it's just, you know, interesting how they both of you all correlate. But I want to ask you, as far as what, you know, with you having your ADHD, what are your triggers, or are they any triggers for you?
My triggers mainly for me overactivate my anxiety. And my anxiety can in some ways overtake my ADHD. So it's kind of like a checks and balance thing for me. Like most people with ADHD have an awful time with time management and being late, never being on time. I'm just the opposite because of my anxiety. I am overly anxious about being late. I think I'm going to be fired, or some of them have to wait for me and they'll be mad, or that's That's what keeps me from not being like that anxiety piece. So it's for me, it's more the anxiety that kind of takes over some of the ADHD stuff.
Gotcha.
Like for instance, it was like this week I misplaced something because I didn't put it back where I usually put it. And I spent so much time looking for it, but I couldn't figure out where I put it because my anxiety had kicked in.
Mm.
And the brain protects itself. When the brain is stressed or nervous or upset or scared, the brain protects itself the same way that the body does, with the fight, flight, or freeze. My brain freezes.
Wow. It's interesting because I've heard you speak on a prior platform, actually on two, before we've actually had the pleasure of speaking on. And I want to let the audience know that aren't there different types of ADHD?
Yes, and I wanted to clarify that from the last show. Clinically, there are three types, the hyperactivity, the inattentive, and then the combined. But there are some psychologists, Dr. Amen in particular, who believes that there are also seven subtypes that fall under those three.
Gotcha. And what are those seven subtypes?
Oh, hold on. Let me get my list out. I wasn't ready for that. Just a minute.
No problem. And while she's doing that, this is Bettina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My guest tonight, my name is Bettina Kirkendall, and my guest tonight is Miss Lillian Fairley, and also I have another guest tonight that will be coming on. Her name is Miss Roxanne Holmes, and I'm looking forward to getting them both on the show tonight. So with that being stated, okay. I think I caught on our part about the seven subtypes, and I'm ready.
I have them in front of me now. Okay, the seven types are classic, inattentive, over-focused, temporal lobe, limbic, ring of fire, and anxious. And again, those are proposed by Dr. Daniel Amen.
Got you. So it's interesting, one, that there's three types, major types of it, and then seven sub. So that's very interesting. So thank you for sharing that. I'm going to bring someone else. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. I'm going to bring someone back up, and then we're all going to get together soon, okay? Thank you for holding. Thank you for holding. I appreciate you. So as Ms. Leah mentioned about ADHD, you know, having it in an adult, you know. But, you know, what's interesting is she didn't find out about it until after finding out her son has it. And then she found out she needed to get tested, and she got tested. So now that we're talking about ADHD, let's go over to post-traumatic stress syndrome. I think I said that, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And on here tonight, I have one of my beautiful friends and no stranger to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman, and that's Miss Roxanne Holmes. How are you this evening? Miss Roxanne,
I am doing well. Yes, can you hear me?
Awesome. I can hear you. Lovely. Thank you for coming in on tonight. These subjects are so interesting to me, it's more interesting to me when I get us collectively all on the screen. So I wanted you to kind of say, first of all, introduce yourself, and then tell us about post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Okay, well, my name is Roxanne Holmes-Lakel, and I am a native Charlestonian. And I am a veteran. What else? Yeah. It's hard for me to introduce myself because I feel like I've been on the show so much. Like,
We have a lot of people that are listening, and I want to thank those who are tuning in, because we have people that tune in here in the United States, and we also have people who are tuning in outside of the country, South America, Africa, Australia, and also Europe. So you never, it's never, so thank you for introducing yourself. So tell us about post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, initially, I wasn't diagnosed. Like I said, I was in the military, and there were just things that were happening in my life and that I was going through. It was normal. Well, so I thought. I thought it was normal, so I never said anything about it. And I actually ended up going to a civilian doctor, and she, you know, ended up prescribing me something, and I was like, no. And so I just didn't want to talk about the military. Like, so many people didn't even know I had served in the military. I just didn't want to talk about it. And the crazy thing is, I'm saying the crazy thing is because I never went overseas. I was close to it, but I never went. And so that's probably part of the reason, but I was a reservist and I got mobilized on active duty. So I just didn't like talking about it. And I just started going through a lot of things in my life, and I knew I needed counseling. I had been to counseling previously, but it was more for like marriage counseling or whatever. And so then I finally went to the VA and, you know, started going, and ended up getting diagnosed with a couple of things, and I was like, wait, what? So the PTSD, like, one of the things that I read was people that have experienced, like, some type of trauma in their childhood, like, they're more likely to suffer from it in the military when something happens, like, which, in a way, you can get PTSD from things that have happened to you in your life anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, you know, I'm a survivor of childhood molestation. So in my head, I was like, well, is that why I was, you know, automatically susceptible to that? One of the things that Ms. Lillian was saying that I felt was really ironic, like, I have a really good friend. Just this year, she was diagnosed with ADHD, and she's got, like, two kids and married, like, you know, college degrees and everything. So that is very true. And I didn't think about that till this year. But the biggest correlation for me with the two is the anxiety. Like, I did not realize things that I was doing was because of just the anxiety and always worrying and always – like, to me, I just was a worrywart, you know? I didn't put it into that perspective. And there were actually times that stuff would happen, and I could feel it in my stomach, like it was bothering me, and I could feel it internally, like, oh, my God. And it was my anxiety kicking in. Like, I could literally feel it. You know, I remember the first time I had an anxiety attack. I was actually in Fort Polk, Louisiana, and they did simulations, and me being out there, the simulation to me seemed very real. So this particular night, and we stayed in what's called a FOB, so that's, like, you know, the base area where you stay or whatever. And just had gotten back from taking a shower, was in the tent, and all of a sudden we hear this loud explosion. It was an explosion, okay? And so I feel like we were all, like, just lost. A lot of us were younger, and there were some older soldiers with us, but the younger ones, you know, we were like, what the heck is going on? But they were simulating an attack, you know. And so this young lady comes through the door, and so they have these strict things, like, when you come through the door, you have to do, like, a security check, like, you have to say something to the person, and there has to be a specific word, and the person has to respond with that word for you to know that, okay, they're friendly. And, of course, she was one, a young person like me, just didn't know what was going on. She just walked back from taking a shower, and someone literally, like, picked this girl up in the air and slammed her on the floor. And between that and the, you know, things exploding, I couldn't breathe. And I was breathing really fast, and it was weird. And one of my friends, I will never say the person's name because I made them swear, like, never to say anything. And I was like, he's like, do you want me to get help? Do you want me to call somebody? Because he saw it. And I was like, no, no, no. Like, I just kept telling him, no, don't say anything. No, don't tell anybody. Now, granted, I didn't really know what was going on. I know it wasn't good. But I also was afraid. Like, I don't want these people to know that I was freaking out like that. Because to me, I was freaking out. But I didn't talk about it for a very long time. You know, because of the stigma, even today, you know, the stigma of it all. And I had someone say to me, actually it was a relative, when I said PTSD, and he was like, you don't have no PTSD. You didn't go overseas. And I said, this is a moment to educate you. I said, you do know the military isn't the only place a person can, you know, have things that cause them to have PTSD. So, and I mean, he was kind of rude about it, and it did hurt my feelings because I felt like I'm the only female in our family that went in the military, and you're trying everything to just downplay what I did. But I just got over him, but just the stigma and not wanting to talk about it. I make sure that I take my medication because there's times other people might not see it, but I can feel it. Like, there were times that things would happen, and, like, maybe somebody said something, I don't know, and it bothered me. Inside, I would be like, I'm going to tell this lady off her. You know, I'm conflicted inside. Like, I'm really, really bothered. And then I'd stop and, like, say to myself, like, okay, why did that bother you so much? Like, you know, and then I'd be like, oh, girl, you ain't took your medicine this morning. Like, you know, like, because normally that kind of stuff wouldn't bother me. But, you know, it's been so long since I've had to really deal with that type of stuff. You know, I didn't realize that if I don't take my medicine that, and I don't know what it was. I can't remember. But it wasn't like petty. I don't know if she was rude or nasty, but it was something she said. And I was like, wow, like I didn't want to fight her. You know, I'm not a fighter. I'm too cute for that. But it bothered me so much. Like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what it's hard to explain. But, again, I don't even like to talk about it with certain people. Like, I try to talk about it as much as I can to bring awareness and to help people understand, like, anxiety. And then when you have PTSD, this isn't a part of it, but I also suffer from, it's called MST, which is called military sexual trauma. Never knew, had no clue, was told that. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I just tested you. And I'm like, how do you test somebody for that? But anyway, so you have all those things in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always something in there. And so for me, at the end of the day, my focus is to always be the healthiest I can be mentally and spiritually. And so I try to read things. I do things I'm supposed to do. I go to therapy and counseling. I believe in that. I talk about it a lot because it has helped me, you know, a lot. But, you know, sometimes I'm talking through things with my therapist because, like I said, I still go to the VA. Now I'm, like, legit. I go to the VA all the time. And she'll break things down to me, and I didn't think about it. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that I still was, you know what I'm saying? Like, there were things there. Right. So, like I said, I try to make sure that I do take my medication because it's there for a reason, and that I do continue, you know, my counseling and my therapy and, you know, those type of things. But just the biggest part for me with the correlation is that anxiety. It's like, for some reason, it's like you can't have PTSD or the, you know, the ADHD without having anxiety as a part of it. Like, I don't know.
I'm going to interrupt real quick because you're saying something that really correlates to what Lillian was saying earlier, which is a correlation, I figured, you know, is the anxiety. So I'm actually going to bring her on board with us tonight so we can make this a group forum. So, Ms. Lillian, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, awesome. So I have you, it's going to be you and Ms. Roxanne that's on the line. And one of the things I caught between the two of you all is the anxiety. That is the correlation. Like, what is the commonality between PTSD and ADHD? It's anxiety, is what I'm hearing. And coming from someone from a background like myself, I can understand about the post-traumatic stress disorder because I am a survivor of childhood sexual molestation. And then I can hear, I understand about the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which I found out through my son. Both of my sons are ADHD. And then I find out that ADHD comes from a parent, from what I was told by Ms. Lily, as a matter of fact. Is that not true?
It's
hereditary.
And I
right. And so I realized that, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to get tested, too, because both of my children have it. And now that I think about it, it makes sense to me about some of the things that I struggle with, even now, you know, as far as work performance. I mean, I'm good at what I do, don't get me wrong, but organizing, forget it. You know, and I know that sometimes I can become hyper and stuff like that, and I have to come to a realization about myself. So having you all here tonight is very, very special and dear to me. So going back to the commonality, now we know what the PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, and then ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Now we talked about, you know, when I had both of you all, the one common denominator I heard right off the bat was anxiety. And listening to Roxanne, because she was a military vet and she's a survivor of childhood sexual molestation. And then when I speak with you, Ms. Lillian, because you've had a child that was diagnosed with ADHD, and then you find out that you are as well. But knowing the both of you all, and I want to start with you, Lillian, first. I know that you mentioned that you had a situation, and if you don't mind, for those who are tuning back in or coming in now, you're tuning into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Katrina Kirkendall, and my special guest tonight is Ms. Lillian Fairley and also Ms. Roxanne Holmes, and we're talking about ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and also PTSD, post-traumatic syndrome disorder. And we're talking about the difference between the two and now the commonality. And the commonality is the anxiety. So I'm going to start with you, Ms. Lillian, and talk about as far as your anxiety, because you had an episode not too long ago.
I had an episode just the other day where I was out with my son. We had an appointment. Did the appointment, stopped and got something to eat. And anybody who knows me knows I love my ice cream, so I had to get a shake. And we had ordered enough food to also bring home for dinner. So we packed up everything and came home. And I remember my shake being in the car. I remember it being in the house. Exactly where I put it and when, I don't remember, but I know I had it in the house. So when I got home, I was a little anxious, you know, wanting to get things done. And, of course, with us with ADHD, we're trying to multitask, but we cannot. We just can't. So I started on one thing and something. I thought about something else, went and did that. I needed my son to help me with something, and I called him into my room, but it turned out we needed to go back into his room because we had a charger that I needed. And I took my milkshake in there with me, but I don't remember taking it in there with me. I got the charger and left back out the room. A few minutes later, I couldn't find my milkshake. Couldn't remember where it was. I called my son to help me to look for it, and he thought I was joking. He was like, you don't remember drinking it, or you don't remember, do you remember if you brought it in from the car? I literally could not remember because I was so anxious that I couldn't find it. Just the fact that I could not find it, my brain just locks up when I get so anxious. And I couldn't remember where I had it last. I couldn't remember if I had it in the car. I couldn't remember if I brought it in the house. And this wasn't even an hour later that all this was happening. My son eventually found it in the room, in his room, where I went to get the charger. I don't even remember bringing it in there. And those kinds of things happen on a regular basis. If I don't put something back specifically where I get it from, my brain does not recall where I laid it as far as an alternate space.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting because I know that you got into your moment, your anxiety kicked in. So at that moment, can you kind of just, you know, would you say the trigger was, because we're talking about triggers, you know, would you say the trigger was you just couldn't remember where you put the ice cream and that's when something triggered and that was, and it sent you on a different level?
For me, it's almost like instantaneous. The minute I realize, where's my shake? I can't remember. It's not right here, and I thought it was right here. That's what starts me through the anxiety piece. Because I go to pick it up and drink it, and it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
My brain immediately just starts to lock up, and I cannot think back to the last time I had it, what I did with it. What I may have done with it. I had another episode with something as simple as a cereal bowl. I usually wash it out and I put it in my washing machine, you know, the dishwasher, and let it dry in there. Well, this one day I had used it, and as I was putting it in the dishwasher, my son called me. So I never put it in the dishwasher. I laid it on the counter. Went to see what he wanted. But I completely forgot about coming back to put the bowl back. And I went on doing other things. And that's what happens with me a lot. Whatever comes into my head, I've got to do it right then and there because I'll forget if I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes write things down, but if it's not in a notebook or something like that, I'll forget where I wrote it. I couldn't find that cereal bowl for like 3 days because I couldn't remember that I had put it down in a towel, and it was right there in the kitchen on the counter, on the towel. But that's not normally where I put it, so it never dawned on me to even look there.
Wow. Well, I thank you for sharing that. I have Roxanne on the line, and we're all talking right now in reference to anxiety because that seems to be the commonality between PTSD and ADHD. And Ms. Roxanne was mentioning about a situation where she was, doing her civic duty, and they were simulating something, and she became, in her case, she started hyper. I believe if I'm not mistaken, Roxanne, you said you was hyperventilating, but you got into an anxiety. My question for you all is, what are some of your triggers? Like, I know I've heard of one trigger that you both had, but do you all have any other triggers? And I'll start with Ms. Roxanne first.
Well, listening to Ms. Lillian talk, like, I thought back about, like, that was the very first time I had one, but then I thought of another time, and because of this incident, I think that's what made me want to go to the VA even more. So I went out to lunch with some people, and, you know, we had an hour lunch. It took an hour for us to get our food, and I never said anything, but inside I just kept thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to be late, we're going to be late. Like, I just – never said anything. I think I might have said one little thing to the waitress, but I never said anything out loud to anyone. And I don't know if we ended up leaving, if we ate. I just remember getting outside and trying to rush outside. And they're like, are you okay? And I had to sit down because, again, I started hyperventilating. And, you know, my friend's like, are you okay? I was like, I'm good. I just need to sit down for a minute. And in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, because I was so concerned that I was going to lose my job because I'm late coming back from lunch. Like, my lunch break is only supposed to be an hour, and it's gone over. And that was one of the things that made me go, this isn't normal. You know, like, yeah, it took an hour for us to get our food, but most people don't, you know, start hyperventilating and got to go outside and sit down. And because I was so upset about it and I was so concerned about losing my job that that happened. And so that was one of the things that really made me go, let me go to these VA people because they owe me something. That right there, I remember that day, and I can see myself right now sitting on the steps, and my friend said, you okay? I said, yeah, I'll be good. Just let me just, and I had to breathe through it, and I'm just like, ain't no way this going to be happening to me like this. Like, I got to go tell these people what they did to me.
Exactly. I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate that. Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to give that question over to Ms. Lillian, then I'm going to come back to you for a second. Ms. Lillian, do you have any other triggers besides, you know, what causes you to get to that point? Does it have to be something immediate? That, like with Roxanne, she indicated it could be a memory. It could be something will trigger her. Do you find yourself in that situation as well? I mean, I knew you had that incident where you couldn't find something, but does something else trigger you?
Yes. For me, it's a lot of little things. Miss Roxanne gave a perfect example. So that definitely happens to me a lot. Because I already know in my head, like, how much time I'm going to spend, like she said, having lunch. I've kind of mapped it out in my head, how long it should take, how long it would need, and to get back to the office so that I'm not late. If that gets altered in any way, then, yes, I start to get angry. And like she said, it's an inside thing. But for me, because of the ADHD piece, we have the emotional dysregulation. Some of us have that, and which is what I have. So we may blurt out something because of the anxiety of being late. Well, what's taking so long with the food? Why is it taking so long? I mean, there's nobody in here. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
There's nobody in me. How come it's taking a whole hour to get my food? This is just ridiculous. That. A lot of people don't understand what they're seeing when they see that. That's not just me being nasty or irrational.
Right.
There's a reason behind it. Stop judging and try to find out. Stop asking what's wrong with you. Seeing what happened to you. Like Oprah said.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a lot of little triggers like that.
Wow.
Ms. Roxanne, I heard you say you were agreeing with Lillian. Can you chime in on that or piggyback on that? Well, I think you're done it already, but I know you. Can you piggyback on that?
Yes. I was saying that because, so one of my triggers with my PTSD is loud noises, but it's like something dropping. And I didn't know that until, like, you know, when I moved into my house, I got bamboo floors put in. And so, like, I'd be in my room doing something and I'd hear this noise, like something hit the floor. And my immediate response is, what is that? What happened? And my kids are like, Mommy, calm down. And like mm-hmm. she said, and people ask him, well, what happened to you? Why do you react that way? And I keep thinking back, like, what made me act like that? Oh, I knew me just getting out the shower, and we got attacked, and there's all these bombs going off. Now, mind you, they were simulations. So can you imagine how I felt when they told us we was going overseas? Honey, I was like, ain't no way. I'm a die. I'm never going to come back home. There's no way. If the simulations had me that way. You know what I mean? It was deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to talk about it because I felt like people would look down on me and say, well, first of all, you a reservist who got put on active duty. Second of all, it happened during training. You weren't overseas. And so that was something that had my anxiety right there. I don't want to talk about it. People are going to say this. People are going to say that. But again, asking somebody what happened to you because there's a reason. And so even to this day, when I hear something fall, I could be looking at my son. I hear it fall, and I'm just like, why did that happen? Like, what? Why did it fall? He's like, Mommy, I bumped into it. But I can't, it just, I don't really act like that outside of the house. So that's the thing. Like, at work, I jump, you know. Like, but people outside of the house don't know it like that. Now, fireworks around the 4th of July. Now, if I'm outside and we're doing it together, I can hold it together most of the time. But if I can't see it and I hear it, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what happened? Did something break? You know, what's going on? But, again, people do things for a reason. So instead of saying, well, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Do have to take the time to say, you know, honey, something happened to you. You know, I know something happened to you. And I think that's the compassion part of people that a lot of us that, you know, deal with any type of, you know, mental thing that we want from folks. Like, we want compassion. I don't want you to make rude comments and say, oh, she got that PTSD, you know, she going to shoot up the place. Like, I've just heard some of the craziest things, you know, like, and I've, you know, my son has ADHD, and Tina, you know this, but, like, I remember having a conversation about with someone, and they're like, oh, he just needed a behind cut. He just needed a behind cut. And I said, first of all, I'm a very, I don't play with my kids, okay? So what you're not going to do is tell me I need to beat him more, because that's not it. And I said the thing that a lot of, huh?
It doesn't work with an ADHD kid.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't work.
My son was three. He was either three or four, right? And he did something. And I remember this day so vividly. I spanked him. And when I got done, I felt horrible because I could tell. I was like, he can't help it. And that's when I started getting him tested. So I've known I don't play around when it comes to my kid. I'm talking IEP. I'll call a meeting. We go into all the doctors. Like, I had him get every kind of test he could possibly get. They tested him.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything. Because I was like, as a mom, my daughter's the oldest. They're 5 years apart. Your kids are going to be different anyway. But this uniqueness that my son had, my daughter didn't have. And I was like, this, I can tell, he just, it's something he cannot control. And I remember when the doctor said, he gave me an example. He was like, his brain is like an engine, right? And he was like, imagine the engine just going really fast, and it's just going really fast, and it can't slow down. So he was talking about, he was like, so the medication is going to slow it down. And I remember one day my son was doing something, and, y'all, I looked at him, and I could see his brain just moving. And I, you know, Facebook shows you your memories. He was three, and I remember posting on Facebook because I saw the memory, and it said, Josiah told me he couldn't fall asleep or something like that. And I was like, why? And he was like, because my brain won't let me sleep. And all these years later, I was like, oh, my God. Like, you see? He was three.
I've always had that and didn't know why. My son was the same way, just like you described. He would not go to sleep or anything. They would be so mad when he was at daycare because he wouldn't take naps.
Right.
Like, he's not tired. We need him to take a nap. I was like, well, you can't make him take a nap.
Right.
You got to run that energy out of them. They don't know what to do with it.
No.
I don't think they know when to do that. They really don't, because my son tells me, Mom, I can't go to sleep. And at first I used to be like, what do you mean you can't go to sleep? But then I started thinking about myself. My brain go a mile a minute, and it's hard for me to calm myself down. Even after I do the shows, I cannot go straight to sleep. My brain is still functioning at hyper speed. I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do next? Blah, 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 blah. okay, I got to work tomorrow, so what do I have to do? Make sure Chase is, yeah, I can understand what you all are saying because I can relate it to my children as well and also to myself when I can't calm myself down or when I'm at work and someone says, you're talking too fast. I'm like, oh, my gosh, let me slow it down some. So those who are just tuning in, you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fechina Kirkendall, and I am here with Ms. Lillian Fairley and also Ms. Roxanne Holm, and we're talking about PTSD and ADHD and the correlation between the two of them. And for those those who are just tuning in, I just thank you all for just being patient. I appreciate you all to finish out this show because it's coming to an end soon. But my thing is, we were talking about triggers. We're talking about triggers, how things can trigger us when it comes to our lives. Now, I want to go into something with you and with Roxanne. You know, you mentioned being a veteran. You also mentioned about ADHD with your son, but then PTSD with you, not just with the military, but being a survivor of childhood sexual molestation. And just to let people know that PTSD doesn't come from just being in the military. No, that's one of the factors mm-hmm. that's happened. Being a survivor of any traumatic experience that you have gone through, like, for instance, Ms. Lillian, hers was the death of her mother in high school before she finished high school. That is a traumatic experience. So you got that on top. You know, these issues or anxiety triggers, as I call them, then on top of the ADHD and on top of the PTSD, and it's a hard thing to juggle, but, you know, as women, especially Black women, we will work it out. We're like, you know, we're like Ford. They think that we're tough, but believe it or not, you know, steering into something a little different, you know, y'all said something very profound, and I want people to understand this. When you see someone coming out of character or upset or whatever, it's not a matter of, oh, well, she got that, or why don't you just get over it, or one of those. Mm-hmm. Find out. Show compassion because that's all everyone ever needs is compassion. You don't know the way, why I'm acting, the way I'm reacting, so don't assume anything. Ask.
Yes. And if it's your kid, you got to know your kid. Because several times the school would try to tell me that he was being a bad kid and he was doing this. I'm like, well, what exactly did he do? I know my kid.
Right.
He's very low key. And he's acting out. Something is going on. And just because you don't know it or you didn't see it doesn't mean it's not going on. I had to have one of his substitute teachers tell me that he was being bullied in middle school. The regular teacher that he's seeing every day had not noticed.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't pick it up at all.
Yeah, do you think that's because they were so used to him being the way that he was that they didn't think anything was wrong?
Well, if the substitute is calling me to tell me that there's a problem, that shouldn't be. Then that's a problem if they think it's something that they got used to.
Right.
I'm telling me from the beginning, if that's something that he's doing on a regular basis, they should have said something.
Right.
That's a problem. Right. They dismiss too much of it because a lot of times they don't believe that Black kids have ADHD. They don't see it. They don't see it. Too many times.
Or sometimes they misdiagnose and blame everything
on ADHD. They get misdiagnosed,
It may not be the situation
altogether.
But y'all know the best part about the ADHD I found? These children, the people with it, I'm not going to say children because Ms. Lillian too, they are so hyper-intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
When I had Josiah, when he took this test, lasted like 2 days, and I remember him saying he was five. He was in K-5, whatever you call it. And he was like, well, this part of his brain is operating like he's in the sixth grade. This part of his brain is operating. And I was looking at him like, what? And so that allowed me to take a different perspective on my son's ADHD. Like, he will read you under a table. Like, all he does is read books and read. He's been reading. My daughter is 5 years older than him, and I remember her being in high school, and he was in elementary, I think he was in fifth grade. He was reading past her grade level. Like, he, so I always look at the ADHD as people are just, most of these people are very intelligent. And when you think about someone that intelligent, and so when I was talking to him about taking his medication, because somebody tried to brainwash him into he don't need it, and I said, sweetie, listen. I said, you know how smart you are, how you couldn't even stay in K-5 all day. You had to go half the day to kindergarten. Then when you got to kindergarten, you had to spend half the day in first grade because they're like, well, maybe he's bored or he already knows the thing. So I had to tell him, I said, your brain is moving really, really, really fast. And I said, so the medicine allows your brain to slow down and allows you to focus, but only for that time while you're in class, while you're, you know, doing your work. Yeah, but I already took that test. Why do I have to take it again? And I said, we know how intelligent you are. I said, you already know you're going to pass the test. Just take it again and say, here you go. But I, you know, I have to talk to him about that stuff. But it's not that I'm making it up. It's because it's true.
It is true. What they don't teach them in school that they need to be teaching is that their ADHD goes hand in hand with their executive function skills. And a lot of times in school, that's what they're seeing, a delay or a deficiency in the executive function skills as a result of their ADHD. And there's other kids that have executive dysfunction that don't have ADHD. You don't have to have ADHD to have executive dysfunction. But you definitely have executive function, dysfunction, if you have ADHD.
It's funny because my son was diagnosed with APD, which is auto processing disorder. When he was younger, he had a lot of ear infections, and he had to end up getting tubes. But during the time when that was going on is during his most developmental time, between those ages of, you know, 1 and 5. And I literally, he couldn't hear. He couldn't understand, so he couldn't develop. And he couldn't really speak very well until we got to start getting the tubes in place. And but he just couldn't. You couldn't understand what he was trying to say because he couldn't process. He couldn't hear most of the time. And, you know, ADHD, APD, and all of this are all on the same, like there's a thin line between all.
Vision,
you know,
vision
thin
processing.
You can misdiagnose these kids, misdiagnose, but, you know, I was one of those parents.
Because of where
I
it happens in the brain.
On it. Yeah.
Because
you know,
of where it happens in the brain.
Yeah. And then, you know, so when I hear you all talking as far as the functions, like, you know, even the cognitive functions, because my son had to end up going to, not only a speech therapist, he still has a speech therapist, but he went to an audiologist, and then he went to, when they start talking about their cognitive functions, what is it that we went to? Because it's right there at the Scottish Rite for Children's Hospital, but now he's been taught, like, how to tie your shoes. Believe it or not, that's something that's hard for kids to do, you know, tie their shoes, you know, different, you know, it's just very interesting on, you know, when we talk about these different subjects. But I would like to ask you all, because you know our time is already going already, I think we're always down to almost 7 minutes, but I'm going to start with you, Ms. Lillian. What nuggets of wisdom can you pass on to those who are listening tonight?
I'm going to give my same nuggets that I gave last time, my 5 A's, which are acknowledge, admit something feels off or strange or whatever, assess, go get an official evaluation, and make sure they're diagnosing which type you have, not just ADHD. It's not a blanket disease or blanket disorder. Accept. You can't fix what you won't face. You have to accept it, sit with it. How does that feel? How does it make you feel knowing that you have that? And then take action. What are you going to do about it now that you know? And then the fifth one is to affirm. Surround yourself with positive messages, because we are constantly bombarded with negative messages about being slow and stupid and just need to try harder. You're a strong black woman. Get it together. It doesn't work like that with ADHD, boo. It does not.
Mm.
So surround yourself with whatever positive affirmations and speeches and sermons, YouTube, whatever it takes for you. Surround yourself with that to try to drown out some of that negativeness, ignorance.
I love it. Love it. Ms. Roxanne.
Well, I have something more for everybody else. I think that people should take the time and think about what they're going to say before they speak. You know, I give you an example about a Facebook post that I had, but I feel that, you know, me telling someone, oh, I have PTSD, I have MST, da-da-da, they might not believe me, or people assume, well, you go to church, like, you sing on the praise and worship team, you do this, you do that, and I'm confident. I'm confident in myself, and they look at you like, well, that can't go together in the same person. You can't have anxiety or PTSD, but then you're confident and you're this. Or this person is very, what's the word I'm looking for, accomplished. And, you know, you're like, wow. And that person suffers from depression. And I just feel like everybody else puts you in this bubble like, well, you maybe you're not praying enough, or you're not calling Jesus enough, or maybe you don't have enough faith. And that, I just said that to somebody the other day. I said, Christians make me sick. They always coming for people with, oh, just keep praying. Oh, just listen, honey, let's get a couple things straight now. I know how to speak in tongues and call forth the Holy Spirit. But don't look at me and be like, oh, I need her to, you need to just pray a little harder. And here's the kicker. My pastor is a therapist. Boom. That's all I got to say. Jesus and therapy works well
God
together.
God created us this way for a reason.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, he knows what he does.
Mm-hmm. No, that is
I don't have to answer to y'all anymore. God knows what he's doing. I'm going to listen to him from now on.
I love that. I love that. And I've been knowing Roxanne for years, so, you know, what you're not going to do.
Yeah.
What you're not going to do. And I agree with you. Compassion goes a long way. Sometimes I tell people, if you don't know what to say, just don't say nothing at all. That's
because,
you know, the people, they want to overhelp sometimes.
That part.
They want to overhelp. Yeah, that part. They want to overhelp. And it's, you're just stirring the pot just a little bit more. And for those who are not familiar with the signs of PTSD, I'll start with that one. You know, and Rox, you can help with this because we have to end this quickly. Like signs of it, you know, like I would say anxiety more than anything. What's the triggers? You know, it could come from loud noises. It could come from a past experience. Like it could come from someone just saying a word. You know, I know with me, you know, someone could say something, it'll trigger a memory for me, and that'll kick into PTSD. And then also, depending on what it is, anxiety kicks in. So I get it. You know, I get it. So what I will say is this, and I'm going to take the lead on it if you don't mind. You know, what I'm going to say is continue to be compassionate based on, you know, what was Lillian and also what Roxanne was saying. It's just compassion because, you know, when I don't know, but, you know, based on what I'm hearing from y'all, but when someone goes into an anxiety situation or an anxiety attack, whatever, it's hard to bring them down because when my son is triggered, oh, my gosh, it takes a minute for us to bring it back down. And I'm sure, you know, based on what I'm hearing from you all, from the scenarios that you've mentioned, that it's the same. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. So excited about how the year is ending and what the new year will be bringing in. I want to specifically thank Ms. Roxanne Holmes and also Ms. Lillian Fairley for coming in tonight. But I actually want to have another conversation with you all, and that is in regards to religion, quote-unquote religion, when it comes to, you know, PTSD and ADHD. So I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Please tune in next Sunday at 9:30, where my guest will be Ms. Denisa Burns, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm so excited. God, I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.
Amen. Thank you so much.
No problem. Hold on one second, ladies. I'm going to hang up now. I'm going to hang up now, so I'll give y'all a second. Hold on a second.